KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy and 58 degrees in Atlantic. We look for mostly sunny skies today, a high of 85. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Dry and unseasonably warm temperatures have prompted the National Weather Service to issue a warning for fire danger in 19 western Iowa counties. The Weather Service issued the warning early this morning. The dry and warm conditions are expected to continue through Wednesday, and with winds likely to increase to 15 to 30 miles per hour, officials say fires could quickly spread and be dangerous. The warning is in effect from noon today until 7 p.m. on Wednesday. An increased risk of fire exists across much of Iowa and will continue through the week. A slight chance of thunderstorms is in the forecast for the weekend here in western Iowa, and those will be spreading east by Monday. News time is 8:01.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Trane dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
Well, staying true to their promise to the Cass County Board of Supervisors, a local organization Monday evening was hard at work maintaining a flower bed near the Veterans Memorial in the Atlantic City Park. Volunteers with the Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund spruced up the area, which had been neglected over the years for a variety of reasons. Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund spokesperson Melanie Petty said the group will be doing a lot more planting in the spring, but for now they simply wanted to give the flower bed some fall color. Petty says a lot of people will be visiting Atlantic this weekend for Harvest Fest and the Atlantic Firemen's Parade, and the group hopes their efforts will welcome those visitors to the city. During their meeting on September 21st, the Cass County Board of Supervisors were informed by Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department Director Roger Herring that volunteers with the Trevor Fredrickson Foundation would provide for the planting and care of the flower beds if the supervisors would agree not to remove them entirely as part of a sidewalk rehabilitation project in the city park, a portion of which is owned by the county. A Nebraska judge has sent the cases against three men charged with killing an Omaha man to Douglas County, Nebraska District Court for trial. 50-year-old James Asmus was found shot to death on September the 2nd in a South Omaha garage. Jason Hanan of Omaha and Anthony Good Jr. and Corey Brooks, both of Council Bluffs, are charged with first-degree murder and weapons charges. Online court records show that Judge Cheryl Lojas found probable cause and sent the cases to district court last Friday. All three men were being held without bond. Concerned citizens want to remind residents of Kimbleton and Elkhorn about a meeting scheduled for tonight in Kimbleton regarding the possible closure of the Kimbleton Post Office. The meeting takes place from 7 until 9 p.m. at the Kimbleton Town Hall. The residents of Kimbleton recently received letters explaining the possible closure. The letter included a questionnaire that residents can fill out, along with information about the declining workload and revenue the Kimbleton office has experienced. Post office officials will be at tonight's meeting to answer any questions citizens may have. If a decision is made by the USPS to close the Kimbleton location, residents may opt to request their mail be delivered to the Elkhorn Post Office. A form is also available at the Kimbleton Post Office to request rural delivery service. Postal Service officials say while the Kimbleton office is being studied for closure, it does not necessarily mean the office will end up being closed. Other Southwest Iowa post offices being studied for possible closure include those in Brayton, Cumberland, and Lewis. A meeting about the possible closure of the Cumberland Post Office was held last week. A stretch of Interstate 29 here in southwest Iowa that has been closed for months because of flooding along the Missouri River will soon be back in business. The Iowa Department of Transportation said Monday that a 34-mile section of I-29 from the Missouri border to near Pacific Junction will reopen sometime this week. Portions of the highway have been closed since June. When it reopens, temporary lane crossovers will be in place near Hamburg with two-way traffic so that repairs can be made to a damaged bridge. Two exits will also remain closed, those at Iowa Highway 333 to Hamburg and Iowa Highway 2 to Nebraska City in Nebraska. Flooding along the Missouri continued into early September when the river finally dropped to more normal levels. A new report shows this summer's flooding along the Missouri River has caused more than $200 million in lost crop sales and other economic activity in six western Iowa counties. The Iowa Farm Bureau report released Monday focuses on Fremont, Pottawatomie, Mills, Woodbury, Harrison, and Monona counties. Missouri River began flooding in late June, destroying hundreds of thousands of acres of corn and soybean fields. Dave Miller, the Farm Bureau's research director, says the report analyzed the direct and indirect economic effects from the lost crops. It also looked at the impact lost wages from the loss of crop sales will have in western Iowa communities, such as farmers not purchasing equipment or materials that are used in their normal day-to-day operations. Iowa farmers are being urged to be careful as the harvest kicks into high gear. Dry and windy weather has increased the fire risk, and some law enforcement officials have asked farmers to stop harvesting until conditions improve. The weekly crop report on Monday shows 91% of the corn crop is now mature, with 12% harvested for grain or seeds. Both are behind last year, but still ahead of the average. 58% of the corn is in good to excellent shape. 21% of the soybean crop has been harvested, which is behind last year and the average. 65% of the beans are in good or excellent condition. State climatologist Terry Hilliker said last week was the ninth week of the past 10 with below normal precipitation. State officials are cautioning Iowans to be especially careful with outdoor fires. Eight Iowa counties currently have burn bans in place, and more are expected to be added throughout the week. Ron Humphrey is a spokesman for the state fire marshal's office.
If people can get away without burning trash, burn barrels, wood piles, anything like that that's going to create heat or a spark or an ember that's going to travel in the winds and land in dry grass, put it off until these burn bans are lifted.
Farmers are also need to be vigilant as the harvest of corn and soybeans gets underway.
Dry conditions and heat from the engines on these machinery or trucks, especially when they're sitting in a place for a long time or overheat, catch the grass on fire. So, you know, we suggest to keep the machinery clean and in good conditions, try and stay on dirt roads if at all possible, especially in the fields, and not to park vehicles or equipment in tall grass or dry grass.
As of Monday afternoon, burn bans were in effect for Butler, Cherokee, Clay, Jasper, Marshall, O'Brien, Plymouth, and Story counties. One ag industry expert says that corn yields are expected to widely vary across Iowa this fall. Roger Elmore, a corn specialist at the Iowa State University Extension, says several factors will come into play, including the July heat wave. Elmore says very warm nighttime temperatures in parts of Iowa sped up the maturity of corn, but it may end up limiting the yields.
That high night temperature really is what drove heat unit accumulation faster than normal, which really truncated the growing season, meaning that the seed fill period was less than normal. Maturity was reached faster than normal, and all that would add up to lighter kernels, and if that did happen, in fact, we'll see lighter yield.
Elmore says growers who tried to capitalize on higher corn prices by planting corn on the same land where they grew corn last year may be disappointed with this year's yields.
We always expect to see a pretty significant yield difference when you're comparing corn-falling corn to corn-falling soybeans. On average, over the years, the best data that we've got that I've seen across the state of Iowa would suggest that difference on average is about 14 or 15%.
He says that average could be as low as 0% or even as high as 30%. It just depends on the year, the weather, the environment, hybrid, and other factors you've experienced. He said Iowa farmers can plan on seeing losses if they're planting the same crop on the same land back to back.
On average, if you're trying to run some spreadsheet analysis on things, just calculate in a 14 or 15% yield reduction from corn falling corn.
And if stock conditions are good, he says the producers should delay harvest during this dry fall weather to allow the corn to dry down in the field. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Amanda Knox is headed home to the U.S. after an appeals court in Italy overturned her murder conviction. The 24-year-old has been serving a 26-year prison sentence for killing her British roommate. The brother of victim Meredith Kircher said his family is still stunned that the former exchange student is now free. Two Americans and one Australian-American are today's Nobel Peace Prize winners in physics. Their analysis of exploding stars show that the universe is expanding at an accelerated rate. Saul Perlmutter, Adam Reese, and Brian Schmidt will share the $1.5 million award. And Ford Motor Company and the United Auto Workers Union have reached a tentative agreement on a new four-year contract. The deal is expected to swap annual pay raises for profit-sharing checks and will include commitments from Ford for thousands of new union jobs. The deal must still be approved, though, by Ford's 41,000 union members. Union talks with Chrysler are expected to be more contentious. KJAN News Time is 8:10.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable, no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In our funeral announcements, F. Raymond Burnham Jr., age 87, of Griswold, died Saturday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Raymond Burnham Jr. will be today at 10:30 at the Griswold United Methodist Church, with the Dune Funeral Home of Griswold in charge of arrangements. Edward T. Hubin, Jr., age 76, of Panora, died Thursday at the New Homestead and Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Edward Hubin, Jr. will be today at 10:30 at the Panora United Methodist Church, with the Twig Funeral Home of Panora in charge of arrangements. Harold Joseph Nissen, age 84, of Shelby, died Saturday at the Methodist Hospital. Funeral services for Harold Nissen will be today at 10:30 at the Minden United Church of Christ in Minden. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Judy Kula, age 78, of Audubon, died Saturday at St. Anthony's Regional Hospital in Carroll. Funeral services for Judy Kula will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church in Audubon, with the Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of arrangements. Mercedes Bowers, age 94, of Manning, died September 19th in Colorado. Funeral services for Mercedes Bowers will be held this Saturday at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning, with Odie Funeral Home of Manning in charge of arrangements. Janet Margaret Hintz, age 92, of St. Paul, Minnesota, and formerly of Avoca, died July the 25th. Funeral services for Margaret Hintz will be held Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca, with Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca in charge of arrangements. And 83-year-old Gene L. Schmidt of Anita died Monday at his home. Funeral services for Gene Schmidt are pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. That is a check of our news this hour here on KJAN, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.